flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Your official station to talk Knicks. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
You know, a little bit about Pete Alonso over the last hour and the Mets. If you haven't heard, the reports are the Mets have re-engaged with Pete Alonso and his agent, who everybody is blaming. And I think, here's something about Pete. I know this, he's not alone in this. This is not the first time this has been said about a player and the relationship with Scott Boras. But I think it's a little bit disrespectful. And I think it's a little bit not thinking highly enough of Pete Alonso to put this much blame on his agent. Because there are people who flat, Scott Boras is the problem. Scott Boras is the reason this isn't working. Scott Boras is the reason he's not a Met right now. Scott Boras, Scott Boras, Scott Boras. And I think it's almost a insult to Pete Alonso or to any other player. And because we've seen it, like, right? Montgomery last year, terrible. The way it was all handled, terrible. He went into the spring training without a contract, pitched terribly, fired Scott Boras. I'm sure he has a lot of things to say about Scott Boras. So I'm not saying Scott Boras is innocent in this necessarily. Pete Alonso, it's his show. It's his free agency. Now, I understand when you hire Scott Boras, you hire him to let him do his job. But to allow this much blame, he's doing what he's been hired to do. He is trying to get Pete Alonso the best deal he can. The Mets have made offers. It's, unless you think that Scott Boras is not presenting the offers to Pete Alonso as they're being made by the Mets, if he's lying to him, now he's telling him, I can do better. He's telling him, hold, wait, I can do better. There's no doubt about it. And I'm sure at the beginning of this process, when he first hired him and he switched agents, it was he was told, I'm going to get you so much money, your head's going to spin. They're going to regret the day they didn't offer you more in contract negotiations in 2 years ago. I'm sure that's what he was told. I understand that. But he understands what's going on. Scott Boras is doing what he's been hired to do and try and get him the best deal. But it's up to Pete to make the decision. It's up to Pete to step in and say, look, you know I want to be a Met. Go get it done. We talked about Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole had an opt-out in his contract with the New York Yankees. He exercised it. The Yankees had an ability to add one more year to the contract and nullify the opt-out, and they told him, no, go test the free agent market. We're not giving you another year. We're not comfortable with that. Do you think Scott Boras said, okay, hey, they called our bluff. Let's just sign the same contract? Or do you think Gerrit Cole said, I'm not playing games. I want to stay with the Yankees. Now, that was for $36 million per. I get it. But I think it's ridiculous. And then to hold, like, I hear so many people, I'm sorry. I know that this is a true statement, what I'm about to say. But I also don't think it should be a reason for a contentious negotiation. When you hire Scott Boras, you're indicating you want every penny. It's a business. At every turn, I hear it's a business. And Steve Cohen didn't become a billionaire by being a bad businessman. It's about business. It's about business. But when the player makes a decision for it to be about business, we blame him? And we say, well, what'd you expect? You went out for every single dollar. Well, Steve Cohen's out to save every single dollar. And nobody seems to have a problem with that. Why are we getting on Pete for hiring an agent? I think that's the I get angry when I hear that crap. Well, this is, hey, look, you turned down money and then you hired the great Scott Boras. Yeah, he hired an agent who has a track record of getting his clients great contracts. Is it not a business? Are the Mets the only one allowed to treat this as a business? And Pete's got to keep his agent and try and get the most money he can out of this business and then just take it and be happy? Now, I'm not saying it hasn't backfired. I'm not saying that Scott Boras has done him a disservice on some level. I'm not saying he's not going to get the contract he hoped for. But the idea of this all started when he hired Scott Boras. Like, shame on you, Pete. You should have stuck with the agent you know that got you the offer you got and been happy with it. How dare you try and get every last penny? But yet Steve Cohen's allowed to try and save every last penny. It's a business. He didn't become a businessman by making bad deals. Why would he negotiate against himself? Why would he pay a penny more than he has to? But Pete's at fault for hiring an agent who can try and get him the most money he could possibly get? Like, I don't understand. I hate that one. Whether or not it was a good decision. The idea that that was the beginning of the bad nature of the negotiations was when he hired Scott Boras. Like, excuse me? And if I'm an owner of a team, oh, well, now I'm pissed. Oh, you're going to fire your agent, hire Scott Boras? All right, it's on. No owner should feel that way at all. It's a business. Pete Alonso is allowed to hire whoever the hell he wants to hire. And it's not like Scott Boras doesn't have a track record. The last 2 years have been a poor track record. But prior to this, he is known. He got his buddy, and I heard that kind of rumor and having some fun with it that Nimmo is to blame for all of this because Nimmo got a great contract with Scott Boras and probably convinced his buddy, hey, Scott Boras got me a great deal. I don't remember anybody being pissed at Brandon Nimmo for having Scott Boras as his agent. I don't remember anyone going, oh, geez, Nimmo's in it for every last cent. Hi, it's Scott Boras. This is going to get ugly. And shame on him. That really bothers me. Like, Pete made some sort of, you know, initial shot across the bow. Like, okay, yeah, he didn't take the contract, and then he hired a different agent. But somehow that was the beginning of this negative nature of this contract negotiation. Like, shame on you, Pete, for hiring Scott Boras. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. I hate that narrative. It's so unfair to Pete. And what else is unfair to Pete is not saying that he's a man with his own mind. Scott Boras is going out there and doing what Scott Boras does. He's trying to get his client the best money. He's sometimes successful with it, sometimes he's unsuccessful with it. And right now it feels like he's hindering the ability of Pete getting the best contract he can. It's up to Pete to step in and say, I see which way the wind is blowing here. I want to be a Met. Take their offer. I'll take their offer. Thank you for getting me this, but I'm taking it. It's the best we can do. Can I get a better contract? Has anyone offered me a better contract? No? Well, spring training starts in 2 weeks. Go get it done with the Mets. I'll take that initial offer. That's up to Pete. He is not at the whim of a madman. It's not like Pete's is tied up in a basement right now, being fed through the bottom of the door, and I'll tell you when the contract's signed, Pete. We'll let you out then. Don't worry about it. Tomorrow's Sloppy Joe Day. You'll love it. Like, what? Like, I don't understand. Pete did nothing wrong hiring Scott Boras. And Scott Boras isn't the reason Pete hasn't signed a contract. If you believe it's on Pete's side, it's Pete. Pete's the reason why Pete hasn't signed a contract. Scott Boras is doing what he thinks is best for his client, what all agents do, trying to get the best deal they can. Is he overplaying his hand? Is he making a mistake? That's for Pete. You know, Pete has to come to an understanding on that, too. I'm not trying to take all blame away from an agent or a bad deal, doing a bad job. It's one thing. He's doing a disservice to his client right now. You want to make that case, fine. I do think it's up to Pete to recognize that disservice is being done. And to, like, because otherwise you're insinuating that he's just, you know, a mindless, okay, Do what you think is best. Like, it's up to him to make a decision. Gerrit Cole's capable of it. Why not Pete Alonso? But I really hate the narrative of, well, Pete started this when he hired Scott Boras. Oh, God forbid. Oh, man. Pete, geez, take it easy. Slow your roll. Who do you think you are hiring an agent? Scott Boras? Pete, come on. Don't you think that's a little ridiculous? I don't understand. I don't understand. John, Mount Pocono, Pennsylvania. What's up, John?
How's it going?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Good. I completely disagree with your analysis. There are ways to negotiate, and mm-hmm. there are ways not to negotiate.
Okay.
When you have an owner coming out and saying, this has been an exhausting process, you're already creating ill will towards working with that person.
How do we know it's not the, like, on this situation, you're going to tell me you know it's Scott Boras, but just...
He has a
reputation of being cutthroat and getting his best. I mean, does Steve Cohen not have a reputation of being cutthroat and making good deals? Did he get the largest fine in the government's history against the hedge fund manager? Because he did. So, I mean, like, we're talking about a guy who's known for being a billionaire and cutthroat decisions and making a lot of money. So I just don't understand why look at it, we go, the owner, hey, he's entitled to do everything he can to save every last penny. But Scott Boras, shame on you.
That's true, but you're putting the onus on Cohen when I don't think it's on Cohen. I think it's on Boras with his history. It would be a lot easier to say 3 years, opt out after the second year, not after the first, or you got to give some leeway. Or listen,
yeah, they gave
three
leeway
years,
by three. Taking the three. He gave leeway by taking the 3 year deal. He was asking for six,
but with an opt out. With opt out,
right?
That doesn't.
Yeah, but all you're doing is telling me what you think is fair. I'm saying that Pete is his own man, no matter who his agent is, and Scott Boras is doing what he thinks is best for his client.
Now, negotiating many, many deals, there are There are people who I would not negotiate with just because of the angst, the agita, and the treatment received by that person. So, and again, I don't think you can argue with that Boris doesn't have that reputation. Easy deal. 3 years, no opt-out, as an example. As an example, rather than 70, make it 73 million. That way, Pete gets signed. You get a little bit of a boost. Let's get the security of knowing he's there.
You don't know what was offered. You have no idea what's offered.
Maybe that
contract was offered, and the Mets said no. Maybe the Mets don't want to give him $73 million.
No.
We don't know what he was offered.
But Boris will take every single opportunity to turn everything in his direction and make the other.
But that's what an agent should do. They're trying to get their client the best deal.
But that's how I know, and you should know, that the $73 million wasn't an offer.
How do you know that?
Because Boris, you would have used it out there immediately to show the Mets in a bad light.
No, but we've heard they offered more money. I heard, Michael Kay was talking about that. He heard that it was $75 million for 3 years. There's been reports. We don't know exactly what's out there. We don't know exactly how much they're willing to spend. He might have suggested more money and then an opt-out. We don't know exactly what number's out there. We know the number that's out there, and the Mets are the only one who put it out there. He's denied any kind of weird structure. Again, me and you are having a different conversation. I am not saying that Scott Boris is doing a bad job for Pete right now. He might be doing a bad job for Pete. I don't think hiring Scott Boris in the first place should hamper anything for the player and should make the player look like in a bad light, or that, you know, the owners should suddenly be like, well, now I don't want to deal with him because he hired Skip. He's out for every penny. Shame on him. I understand there's relationships and you get tired of working with people. They just worked a deal with Juan Soto. So you're okay with Steve Cohen as long as the player is worth it, is what you're saying. You're okay with Scott Boris as long as the player is worth it. Pete's not worth it. I'm saying the narrative that Pete made the first salvo by hiring an agent, I think, is unfair. He's allowed to hire any agent he wants. And I'm not saying that Scott Boris isn't doing a bad job of it, or is the main reason this negotiations have become contentious. Maybe it is. Maybe he's the one being unreasonable. I'm not saying he's not. What I'm saying is that Pete has a brain. Pete is not a zombie being led by a leash by his owner. If he recognizes it's unfair, or he sees that he's not getting anything else from any other team, then he should tell Scott Boris exactly what Gerrit Cole told him. Enough. Sign the deal. Pete did nothing wrong in hiring him, and Pete's the one who needs to recognize that his agent is going too far. It's on him. He works for Pete. It's not the other way around. Boris is doing what he thinks is best. The minute you think your agent is no longer has his head straight on what's best for you, it's up to you. Vinny in Atlantic City. What's up, Vin?
Hey, good morning or good evening. You know, yes. I totally agree with you. I think the Mets are in a tremendous position right now. I hate when teams compete against their own team. Nobody else wants Pete Alonso. It's one of those years where it's just the money's dried up on other teams.
Yep.
And Alonso and Boris thought they were going to get 6 years, $200 million.
Mm-hmm.
On that, well, that ceiling's crashed. You know, now you're going to come with your tail between your legs and say, hey, you know, I'll take that three at $90 million. You're lucky you get that.
I don't think that deal was ever offered to Pete Alonso, because he would have taken it. I mean, I think it's 3 for $68 is the offer. I don't think that 3 for $90 that was reported was ever accurate.
3 for $90. Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think that was too much. I think at the beginning they were looking at trying to get Pete Alonso at 5. He's not that type of player, but it's just the wrong place, the wrong time right now. You know, and if the Mets pull this deal out, I see him going maybe Washington. I don't understand where he's going.
No, I know.
Teams with money don't. don't need him. They don't need him.
Well, I mean,
Boros does this. You know, you're 100% right, Dom. Sorry, but the agent works for you.
Yes.
If you're not happy with this, you can fire him.
Yeah.
It's a legal contract.
Or you could tell him to make the deal.
Right.
Like, you know, you have a conversation with your agent and say, look, what are they not going for? They're not going for this structure, all right? All right, so forget the structure. I want to sign with the Mets. They're offering me more money than everybody else, right? I want to go there, right? Go get the deal done.
Right. Like, what's he making right now, you know?
Pete?
Yeah, what did he make last season?
In arbitration he made last year, I would guess it's somewhere around 20.
He's not going to get very much more than that.
No, he's not.
Yeah. I mean, it's just the way. Bregman hasn't signed yet, right?
No, he hasn't. And Bregman was talking about, you know, he's still turning down. What did he make last year? Why is it not giving me last year career earnings? Okay, there we go. Yeah, last year he made 20.5.
Yeah, I also think that he's a Crawford box guy and a guy whose bat hit speed has dropped like 2 miles an hour the last couple of years, which hasn't helped him. But I just think that, you know, Boros always has that one player who's going to slip through. And they just, you know, and I think when the Yankees made a great deal with Walker for first base, that hurt Alonso. Because I thought his number came in pretty good. I thought it was a good, fair deal. And I think he's as good as might be better than Alonso. I thought the Yankees signed Christian Walker for a great deal.
The Astros signed Christian Walker for a great
deal. I mean, the Astros. Yeah. Excuse me.
Yeah, look, I don't think I don't know. He's not the same kind of hitter. He doesn't have the same power. He's the best defensive first baseman out there. I'm sorry. I don't know how I never did this. I went to MLB. I went to Cott's contract page. Not Cott's. Spet. What is it? Spotrac. They have Pete Alonso market value. I don't know if I've seen this. And now this is where you go for your contract information. Market value for Pete Alonso, 6 years, $174 million, $29 million a year. I don't think that's the market value right now. How is that? Man, I know he hits a lot of home runs. That's his market value? $29 million per 6 years, $174 million is what they think he should get. That's what that's what Spotrac thinks the market should bear for Pete Alonso. He's not going to get anywhere near that. He's going to get 3 years at $10 million per less. That's crazy. I don't know. I'm sorry. That just jumped out at me when I saw the market value on this. I haven't checked his contract status and didn't see that. 6 years, $174 million for Pete Alonso. It's not happening. But look, I'm just saying, again, I am not saying that Scott Boras hasn't done his client a disservice, didn't do Montgomery a disservice, didn't do different players over the last 2 years a disservice by trying to get every last penny. It hasn't worked. And the Mets don't have to give in because there's no market. So I get it. I'm just saying it feels like we are disrespecting Pete by not saying he's his own man who can. He doesn't work for Boras. Boras works for him. And I also don't think he's a bad guy for turning down a contract and then hiring an agent who's known for getting his players the most money. Sure. Are there other owners throughout baseball who don't like him? Yeah, you know why? Because he gets the most money. So if we have no problem with the fact and stating the fact that it's Steve Cohen's job to save as much money as... Like, it's Steve Cohen's job to get Pete Alonso for the least amount of money possible. We're all comfortable saying that. That's a good owner, good negotiator. That's Steve Cohen and David Stern's job to get the player for the least amount of money. And he didn't become a billionaire by making bad deals. And it's I trust... You know, like, if we're going to... It's a business. He's a businessman. And he shouldn't have to pay a dollar more than he has to get the player. But if the player hires Scott Boras, shame on him, that money grubbing. You know, he's out there to get every last dollar. I thought he wanted to be a Met. And here he is signing with Scott Boras. Shame on him. And I hear that. I think I heard it from Paul Rosenberg, in fact. I'm calling you out, Paulie. He says he wants to be a Met. He turns down a long-term extension, and then he signs Scott Boris. Oh, yeah, sure, you want to be a Met. Oh, I'm sorry. Is it not a business? Because David Stearns and Steve Cohen, it's allowed to be a business for them. He did nothing wrong hiring Scott Boris, but Scott Boris works for him. And he's the reason they haven't come to an if it's Alonzo's side being unreasonable, that's on Alonzo, not Scott Boris.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your official station to talk Yankees. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. With the Mets, I want to talk about another situation that maybe has arisen. I don't know why that's coming out weird here.
You don't want to rise.
I don't want to rise. Remember? Yeah, he's overrated. There's a pitcher out on the market who may become available, and I've been talking about trading for pitchers for the Mets since this year began, and a lot of people have drawn a connection. This one, I wouldn't touch. I don't think I would do. We'll do that in a second. Let's get to the calls, though. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Jeff in Manhattan. What's up, Jeff?
Hi, Chris. So I like your work a lot.
Oh, thank you.
I'm an astrologer. I've been an astrologer for many years.
Oh.
I've followed the Mets since they were born. So regarding the Pete thing, I just really wanted to confirm to you that I think that your intuition and your instincts about Stearns really not liking Pete, from my point of view, are very correct. And I don't think Cohen particularly likes him either, but not to the degree that Stearns dislikes him.
Right.
I do not have a birth time for either Pete or for Cohen or for Stearns, but I can see enough where I think that Stearns is actually totally threatened by Pete. That Stearns has a very, very strong sense of wanting to have his plan work the way he wants to have his plan work and blah, blah, blah.
So,
and I also think that Cohen is totally one with that and will not cross him ultimately on that.
All right. So wait a second. All right. So you said you don't have a birth time. So, and you're an astrologer. So I'm guessing you have this belief by looking at either the constellations while they were born or what chart.
I have the birth date.
Okay.
I have the birth date and birthplace of each one of them.
Right.
So I can see a lot of things. I can't see things quite as well as I would like to see them.
Okay. So, all right.
But
so,
I know what Pete has been going through over the past month, okay, which has been horrible. He's been feeling totally disrespected.
Right.
Totally dissed, and he has been, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And devalued, et cetera, et cetera. And, but the point is that I can see a relationship between David Stearns and Pete. Like, David Stearns is Mars, the god of war, the attacker.
Is that a fact?
Is making an opposition. I'm sorry. Pete's Mars makes an opposition to David's son, which we don't know. It's right on the cusp of Aquarius and Pisces, so it's hard to tell. But it's within right. 1 degree, 1 or 2 degrees.
It's in one degree of Pisces and Sagittarius, is that what you're saying?
No. Pete has Mars in 28 degrees of Leo.
Mars
okay?
in 28 and, degrees of Leo.
You know
isn't
a little
that name
astrology?
Of a band? No, I don't. No, I don't. I don't know much about astrology. I know I'm a Sagittarius, and please don't tell
and
me
so
what that
is,
means.
So is Pete.
All right, Pete's a Sagittarius. What's his birthday? December 7th.
Okay. I think he's 16 degrees, so I think he's like around the 8th of...
Yes, he's December 7th, 1994.
Yeah. Right, and so, there
and
you
so,
go.
All right, so you're saying that these traits that are inherent in him because of when he was born are what's causing the problems in the negotiations?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying what's going on in the sky right now. The planet Saturn, the Grim Reaper, has been making a square to Pete's son. So he has been very pressured to make a decision. He is feeling minimized, which is what Saturn does to everybody.
Yeah.
It's not just that. There's a lot more than that. But what I'm saying is that I think that basically to try to be... And I think that David Stearns basically hates his guts and wishes he was gone. And
that's because he's Mars and right now Saturn is making everybody.
No, that's because Pete's Pluto is exactly on his Saturn, which destroys his plan and his ability to make plans.
Oh.
And it also happens to be on David Cohen's plan, too. So, for example, you know, Pete plays every game, as you know,
yes.
right?
Yeah, he's. He plays.
I don't think that they particularly like that. They, you know, I think them feeling that, you know, they would be obligated to let him play 162 games and not be able to manipulate him.
And you got all this from Saturn's in a square?
No, I got this from all kinds of things from looking at this thing for months and years, basically.
So what's the outcome? What is this? What are the stars
telling us?
Yeah, right.
Unfortunately, and I don't mean to cop out on you on this,
but
unfortunately, because I don't have a birth time for any of these guys, and particularly for Pete, I don't know what the outcome is. But I don't have a good feeling about where this is going for Pete.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not just because of from my astrological experience, but also from my baseball experience.
Right.
I think any way you look at it, this is going to mess him up, you know, professionally. I don't think you're going to disagree with me on this.
Well, I'm just, isn't there a scenario where he would go and find a GM and manager and owner where the stars align? And theoretically, that situation he would thrive under. Like, what if there is, you know...
Okay, you're being good.
What if there's a Leo who, you know, runs... the Anaheim Angels right now.
Yeah, no, I hear you on that. But,
yeah.
I have not examined that yet.
I've been thinking about that.
Moreno?
Yeah.
You know, that's a good thought, actually.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
So now you got to check.
I'll get back to you on that.
I can't get you the birth times of the owners and GMs.
No, you can't because if I can't get them, you can't get them.
Right,
you
well, know, clearly. I mean, you have the access to that stuff better than I do. So, but I'm just saying, like, if you... You got to look into see what other teams and whether right now he's connected to the Blue Jays. So I don't know right now if you could look at some of the other teammates or the GM of the Blue Jays and see what time of year he was born. Maybe that's the kind of place where Pete would thrive. And maybe this is the information he's going on. And this is why he knows that he's going to butt heads with these people, because he's destined to. It's literally written in the stars. And so he's trying to figure out, you know, for the right amount of money, he'll do it. But otherwise, he's trying to find a more compatible, you know, sign for him.
No, no. We're not talking about "quote unquote" written in the stars. Oh, okay. We're talking about, you know, I mean, it's not, astrology is not all about prediction.
Okay.
I mean, the problem is because I don't have birth times for any of the characters in the play.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot harder for me to make a "quote unquote" Nostradamus like prediction. You know,
okay.
But because I did not. That moved me to kind of look at the relationships between the characters in the play. And so, you know, I came up with it. Stearns hates his guts, basically. he obviously is not going to admit that, but he hates his guts.
Right. Right.
Okay. And Cohen's not a huge fan either, because Cohen's a control freak. And in fact, when Cohen came out and talked about being exhausted the other day, that had a lot to do with Pete's Saturn on Cohen's Mars, because Mars is your energy and Saturn is the alchemical principle of reduction.
Now, okay.
So that makes sense.
Right.
That makes sense to me.
But when you say Saturn is on Mars, do you mean that literally right now with the way they're lined up, that they're like at this current moment?
No.
Saturn is on Mars and Saturn and Mars don't get along. Because I'm trying to figure out, like, do you mean, like, right now with the way Saturn and Mars are currently sitting in our solar system?
No.
And that in six months it could be different, but right now, just with the way that Mars, you're saying that Pete's a Mars and he's a Saturn and they'll never be able to speak, you know.
No. I'm saying that Pete's natal, his birth chart, Saturn.
Right.
Is on Cohen's Mars. So Pete frustrates Cohen. Mm. So for example, when Pete was offered the $158 million 7-year contract in June of 23, right?
Right.
And by Billy Epler.
Yes.
Right? Not by Stearns.
Correct.
As I recall, Pete was, you know, was going at a rate of hitting 60 home runs, and then he had one of his horrible, horrible slumps. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
As I vaguely recall. And we know that Nimmo signed a contract for $162 million in December of 22 for 8 years, not 7 years. So it's basically the same contract.
Right.
And I'm guessing, you know, non-astrologically now.
Oh, okay.
That Pete, who is not Aaron Judge when it comes to, you know, like, you know, showing his balls when it comes to, you know, contract time.
Although I would think that Alonzo's more likely to show his balls than Judge. He seems more of the ball showing type, to be honest with you.
Well, I mean, he tries to, but Alonzo,
and he likes to hump the air. So
I don't know if you've seen it. Yeah, okay, but Judge came through better than Pete.
Clearly.
Yeah, we understand each other on this. I'm just thinking that if I was Pete when I was offered the same contract as Brandon Nimmo,
right?
You know,
well,
I think he
thought he was a better player, more home runs and everything, and thought he had a chance to be. Nobody said that, you know, Nimmo was going to be the best position player in Met history. That was the thought around Pete Alonzo. Now, Billy Epler is born on July 11th. I'm sorry. No, that's not. Hold on one second.
Yeah.
He's born.
Well, that would be a waste of time for me.
Oh,
that would
be. September 16th. I'm sorry. I was reading a report from September 16th.
Oh, Billy Epler is December 16th, really?
September.
Oh, okay. So he's a Virgo.
Yeah. Now, how would that sit on Mars?
I have no idea. I'm talking to you in the dark, and it's the middle of the night, you know, and I don't have all my stuff around
me
right now.
No, I can understand that. And, well, Jeff, I want to thank you very much, because you have shed a ton of light on the situation. I feel like the idea that I had no idea that Pete's Mars was sitting on Stearns' Saturn, and this thing was doomed from the beginning. I mean, it would save us all a lot more time if we thought in such ways. Like, I just, And it makes sense because Billy Epler's a Virgo. He's the one who offered the contract. And this whole time, I feel dumb. Like, think of all the time we've wasted and opens I've done and arguments we've made. And, like, Evan's grown beards. Like, for what? Evan literally grew a beard. What a dope this whole time. Evan's been literally turning himself into a monster, looking just like he saved the beard hair and put it in a Ziploc bag and brought it back. All this time, doing everything he could to re-sign Pete, when all along Pete's Mars has been sitting on Steve Cohen's Saturn, and there was never a chance of it. I mean, I feel stupid. I guess it's not going to happen. So we got to, let's see if there's, and we should know this now. Let's be honest. Hold on. We got to find out when Brian Cashman's birthday is. Because if Brian Cashman has a similar, Brian Cashman is, they just give his age. Hold on. July 3rd. Now, that's very interesting. I didn't know that. Because Brian Cashman is only a day apart from George Steinbrenner, which was July 4th. So I'm surprised that they clashed as much as they did, considering they're both born a day apart, July 3rd and July 4th. But clearly that's the issue. Once George was gone, there wasn't that multiple early July force. And that's why the team has gone to hell since George died. But, I mean, yeah, I feel really dumb. This whole time, Pete's Mars has been sitting on Cohen's Saturn, and it was destined to fail. It sucks. I thought for sure they're renegotiating. They're getting back. The Cohen's picking up his Saturn, and he's not going to just pick it up and go home. He's going right back into it. He's going right back into Mars. And we'll see if he has the ability to do it, because I've seen what happens in Mars. Do you remember in Total Recall? When Arnold Schwarzenegger gets like thrusted out just onto the Mars atmosphere, and he can't breathe, and his face is all swelling, and like, I don't want that for anybody. I mean, it's hard to live on Mars, let alone hit 40 home runs. So Pete's going to have a tough time.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
2:54, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Hey, Jeff might have as good a point as any, because none of us have a good feel on this Pete Alonso negotiation. Any agree?
Star Trek, Star Wars, I can't even tell them apart.
That's true.
Never saw a Star Wars movie.
Ever. Never.
That's the force be with you, right?
I'm not a UFO guy.
Apparently the drones aren't UFOs. That's positive.
That's what that last drop is from. That's very recent.
Oh, is it really?
The others, obviously, I think you were here when they happened.
Yeah. No, other ones I definitely was. Yeah.
I think you were sitting in this chair, and it's probably the same chair, because these have been in the same chair since we moved here.
That's probably true. Does the Velcro still happen every time someone went on remote? And I would be the one stuck there. Monzo would go to the Super Bowl. Monzo would go to this. Monzo would go to that. And I'd have my ass stuck to that chair. Stuck in the studio while they're out there enjoying themselves. He might have as good a thought on it as anybody else, because I don't know what's going on. But yeah, apparently the drones are not aliens. In the press briefing yesterday, the new press secretary announced that it was actually our government doing some research, all been approved, everything on the up and up, and then maybe some, you know, drone enthusiast and hobbyist added to it. But everything is fine. It's not aliens. It's not the enemy. At least that's what we're being told. I mean, if I'm going to talk to Al Dukes for a second, if he's driving and listening, my question would be, as much as we, and I don't want to get into political debate, and as much as many people might not think too highly of the former president, Joe Biden, and how, you know, on top of things he was, why not tell us that if that was the, like, it's just, that's an odd answer after all this silence on the subject. Suddenly it's like, yeah, no, it was us. Everything's fine. Don't worry about it. Seems weird. But hey, hopefully it's us and there's nothing to worry about. And Jeff, yeah, thank you for the call, man. I hope, I don't think he's too happy with me right now, but we had a good conversation. I'll let you make your points. And it's as good a reason as anything else that I've heard. It's as good as an explanation as anything else. And I happen to agree with the idea that David Stearns wants no part of it. I happen to agree. I don't know if I necessarily believe it's because Mars is sitting on Saturn, but it's as good a thought as anything else.
I once booked Neil deGrasse Tyson for the morning show with Jerry and Sal. Should I reach back out to ask him about the Pete Alonso situation?
Yeah, maybe we should.
He's an astrophysicist, so I don't know if he has the same area of expertise.
No, I don't think he does. I don't think he does. But, I mean, we might have some... I'm willing to take answers from any faction of life, any expertise, if they have some...
Maybe Eddie will know when he comes in.
Eddie might have a little bit more... Cause
there's a good chance he was listening. He's going to walk in here as soon as he gets to the building.
Because I wanted Jeff to explain even a little bit more what he was talking about, but he kind of wanted to... I kind of got the sense that he sort of understood I was having a little fun with him, and he wanted to bring it back to baseball. When he said... You know, he said Saturn is squaring around the sun. I wanted to know what he meant by that. But I don't think he's too happy with me right now. So, Jeff, I hope you called back, man. It was a fun call. David in Port Washington. What's up, Dave?
Hey, Chris. How are you?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I just want to thank you. I'm great now. I mean, that bit about Mars and Saturn, was one of the funniest bits I've ever heard. And you did it tactfully.
Yeah. It wasn't really a bit. Okay. That's it. Jeff honestly called in.
Well, you know, I don't mean to disrespect him, but when you said, I feel stupid, I didn't know this. I hit the floor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, this whole time we've been yelling. It's unfortunate when you're yelling about something and have an opinion on something for weeks, and then you find out it was all for naught because, you know, Mars was sitting on Saturn this whole time, and we had no idea. It's frustrating.
You're very tactful in your ways, and I congratulate you on such a great show you have.
Oh, really, thank you very much.
I mean, I'm 65, and I'm a sports enthusiast. I'm a New York, you know, Mets, Jets, Rangers type thing, Knicks.
Sure.
But, I put the Giants in a little bit, but I'm a more Jets fan. I'm born in Queens. So, anyway, I just wanted to comment to thank you. That was some of the funniest things I've ever heard. I wish somebody would tape that.
The way you handled it was
so professional.
Well, yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, you can go back and listen on the... on the Odyssey app. I know that might not be up your alley, but if you can go, you download the Odyssey app, you go back to, I guess it was like 2:45 and...
2:34 to 2:36.
2:34.
And then your reaction lasted longer.
That's it, 2:34
to 2:36. And it will be posted as a podcast.
And we'll post it as a podcast. So it'll be out there. We'll have some fun with it. I'm sure the morning show will talk about it for 2 minutes before they talk about how I'm as fat as Saturn. And then they'll move on to that.
I think they'll give you Mars. They're not going to go Saturn.
I don't have my
Saturn's
own.
Pretty big.
Right. I don't have rings around me when I walk up and down the halls. That'd be nice. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Omar, I see you. I was too busy to let you go off, Omar, so we'll have some fun a little bit, okay?